You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
On the line in Los Angeles, got a very, very special guest this morning, Morena Mickey Blanco. How are you?
Hello, hello, hello. What is it? Kia ora.
Kia ora. Yeah, that's perfect. It's so nice to chat with you.
Thank you. I mean, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's you are. We were just saying you are. I am in the past at 11:30 a.m. and you are in the future, and this is morning radio.
We're creating some sort of time vortex or something with this conversation. I'm very excited to see what that does to the universe.
this is time travel. How is everything there this morning?
Well, it's great. The future's looking bright, especially because you're coming to New Zealand for the first time ever, which is super exciting. There is, I think, there's not been so much excitement in our little community for an artist announcement in a long time. We were just chatting off air. You've been to Australia a wee bit, but this will be your first trip to New Zealand. What are you looking forward to?
I started traveling internationally within my career when I was about 25 and 26, and before that I hadn't been anywhere, just you know, different parts of America. And one of the things that I think I love the most when I do immerse myself in a completely, honestly, this will be like a completely new world for me. I think one of the things that I kind of like the most is, I guess, just seeing the small similarities. Like, I don't know, like just going to like a local, like going to like a local like bookstore Yeah, I'm so curious about like what kind of foods are like native to kind of New Zealand. And I mean in America we just have this very like kind of either this very like Hollywood I guess idea of New Zealand, or I think if you're a bit more historically minded, like I think a lot of people, you know a bit about kind of the indigenous culture there, but yeah, I'm really excited because it's kind of like it's going to be a completely new lens.
It's very exciting to have you here. I feel like I've been a big fan of your music for a really long time, Mickey, and there's so many questions I want to ask you. So I'm just going to sort of start with like a bit of a process-based question. When you are writing, because you draw inspiration from a lot of different places, you've kind of come out of this like first internet age, I guess, of artists really stepping through the online space as a kind of drift net for ideas and like a melting pot for different influences. When you're starting out with writing a track, what does that actually look like for you, Mickey? Where do you kind of turn to first?
So the first thing that happens when either I'm with, you know, like, I mean, my executive producer, Drew Faulty DL, or when we're with like a session player, like a guitarist or a drummer or a flute player, and we're building the track and Drew's working on Reason or Ableton, I think the first thing I do is this thing called the blah blah method, where it'll be, we'll get kind of the beat started or we'll get kind of the jam session started, and then I'll do this thing where, let's say, Santa Maria Madia Madia, atada batada batada badira, atada batada batada badira. And so then, like, I do that because that allows me to figure out the flow and the cadence. And so let's turn that into something. Mm. Let's say, so I just did all that. Let's turn that into, I want you, I need you, I thought that I could believe you, I did not realize that, da, da, da. You know, like, but you get it, right?
Yeah, it's totally. Like,
so it's like, then it's like taking that cadence and making those into real words, and then making those real words into some kind of poetic expression that will symbolize the core of the song.
That makes so much sense, but also is such a fascinating like insight into, you know, I guess where the thinking starts for you. When you're adding words to that cadence or that rhythm, do you ever find yourself surprised by what comes out of that that translation, I guess?
Yeah, because sometimes, okay, so let's give an example. I think one of the tracks you're gonna play after our interview, Love Fell Down Around Me, that in writing that song, a lot of the lyrics are kind of this kind of deadpan that I had never really done before. I mean, that song starts off like, I didn't make a fuss about it. I didn't yell at all. Your tears on blue jeans, my coffee on the living room floor. I said the worst things ever that night. Forgive me, please forgive me. And so that song is this more like this conversation, because when we were in the studio, it's like, how do we make an argument catchy? How do we make an argument between a couple endearing, magnetic, and catchy at the same time? But then, you know, I have a song, what's a good example? Here, You Will Find It, which is that, you know, from also the album Stay Close to Music from 2022, that's like, let's do from Postcards from Italia, let's do Tequila Casino Royale. And that song is just like, you know, drunk as a skunk in Las Vegas, Nevada, tanning by the poolside, your breath is really freaking me out. So it's like, you know, it's just, you know, the different things just kind of come out as you respond, and you're kind of, you know, it's like, is this song going to be silly? Is this song going to be serious? Is this song, are we trying to be sultry, you know, sultry, I don't know, sirens, who knows?
I love that. I also think for Postcards, it's kind of in the name a little bit, there's these like snapshots almost of time and place that happen across it. But you're also very good at working with these like big overarching sort of concept albums, for want of a less like very art house word about it. And I think a lot about Broken Hearts and Beauty Sleep, which I thrashed in one of our long lockdowns here. There's something so timeless and cinematic about that record. When you were making it, and records that I guess have a similar feeling for you, did you have an idea of a big through line that you were trying to place in it, or did it feel a little bit more like that's what happened afterwards?
So there wasn't. So this kind of overarching, like, it's actually a little bit embarrassing, but maybe not. But I think I wanted to make music like that, I don't know, that like my mom or my dad or my grandparents, or like, I wanted for the first time to like not make music that was, and I don't think that I make niche music, but I wanted to make music that was not so specific to like my peer group or like a younger peer group. And I wanted to kind of draw from these influences that I actually never had before, kind of about the music that I grew up listening to through this osmosis of, you know, being in the car with your parents on long road trips, you know, the kind of music that my mom and my dad would play around the house. And so I think one definite goal sonically was to kind of try to tap into this timelessness that you could possibly trace the references without feeling dated or without feeling like this carbon copy, or we're trying to make a song that sounds like this. Or, you know, like with a song like Free Ride, that song definitely has funk and disco references, but then there's, you know, something about it that's also kind of a bit like, I don't know, techie and almost like trip hoppy. And so, yeah, I really am, and for years have been super into this kind of like genre splicing.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's also reflected in some of the people you've worked with, either on your own music or in collaboration with others, or even in like support of other people's tours as well. Some really big names are really big on what you're doing, Mickey. And I feel like that is a really interesting space to be, where you're able to switch between different like modes and phases of sound a little bit. And I know you do that with your visual art as well. For you, what's the, I guess, interest in having multiple different kind of creative outlets like that? Is there a different thing you're trying to do with those, or are they part of the same, I guess, thought process?
I'll say this. I think there are certain artists that come out and that are so lucky because they get to come out and just be themselves. And the world gets to accept it. Either the politics of their identity just align with a lot of people at once, or their message, or usually with people that usually shoot straight to the top, it's a combination of all three and a lot of talent. But with me, I think that because the world was such a different place, and because there were so many politics of my identity that were really taboo you know, 12, 13 years when I first started, you know, if it hadn't have been for, like, you know, these fledgling internet communities like Tumblr and, you know, early stages of Instagram and at some point Facebook, if it hadn't have been, you know, predominantly like these queer and alternative communities all over the world saying, hey, we like this artist. Hey, we want to see this artist. Hey, bring this artist here. I think there was a lot that was against me. Mm. As far as like me getting my message out. And so I think that why visuals and kind of why in the very early stages of my career I had to have such a strong visual narrative is because I kind of had to tell people really early on they couldn't box me in. And so I didn't really have the luxury of just getting to come out as like my most authentic self. I had to kind of like show people always some other interesting side and always some other interesting angle and always this, you're not gonna box me in, because a lot of times people would just try to pigeonhole me as just being like a distinctly queer artist or just being like a gay rapper or this or that or this or that. And when they were doing that, this kind of wasn't like, they weren't doing it in a nice way.
Mm, yeah, totally.
They were like doing it in a kind of very like derogatory, like, we're gonna keep you here. Yeah. at this level or in this kind of, at this, you know, in this honestly kind of like a ghettoizing. And so I think that over the years, what I felt most proud about is that through each project and as I've matured as a songwriter and as I've become, because I didn't start writing songs till I was 25. And so over this, like, I'm 37 now, so I would say, but, you know, at this kind of like 10-year, 11-year period, like, I've gotten better at my production. I've gotten better as a songwriter. And so I think that I feel very happy, and I don't have this like chip on my shoulder that like, as I've progressed through my projects and as I've become a better artist, people have seen my kind of authentic self really, really grow in front of their eyes. And so it feels like a breath of fresh air that now at this stage, kind of like very mid-career, I can do something and I don't feel as if I need to like show someone some like different dark side or some other more playful. I can just create from a really like genuine, like kind of like spiritual like flow.
That must be such a liberating feeling to also be able to recognize as well in your own like practice. It must feel good to perform, like the actual physical performing must be enjoyable for that as well.
Well, yeah, because it's I've had a really funny career. Like, I've never been a mainstream artist ever, ever, ever. but I've had this like very like kind of glamorous career that has had all these twists and turns, and I've worked with people that like, I mean, I've worked with like Michael Stipe from REM and amazing. Madonna and Kanye West, but also Kathleen Hanna from Bikini Kill and Devendra Banhart and Anoni and it's like, and Dev and peers like Dev, that are, peers that are so talented that I love, like Dev Hines or Big Frida. And so it's like, I think that God knew what they were doing when they kind of placed me in this position to be able to, be who I am and appeal, I guess, to a lot of different people in a lot of different ways.
I can't wait to see you performing in Aotearoa, Mickey. We're so excited for it. What can people expect from a live show from you? What are you going to be bringing to New Zealand?
So I mean, with this iteration, it's kind of harkening back to like my early days a bit, like where it's just gonna be me. But I mean, I'm already in rehearsal mode because I will be doing, so I'm gonna do some older tracks, but it will be a lot of Postcards from Italia. But let me just put it like this, from the moment I hit the stage till when I get off for that hour and 10 to 15 minutes, I don't stop.
Amazing. I feel like everyone's gonna have to have running shoes on and a little like sweat towel or something to get us in the headspace.
Yeah, like it's like, let me just put it like this. It's gonna be more of like, I'm gonna be drinking green juice before, not less. Less body shots, more like green juice.
Nice. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, Mickey, people can catch you, Mickey Blanco. So special to speak with you. At Neck of the Woods here in Auckland on Friday the 8th of March. You're also playing at Port Noise, a very cool festival down in Lyttelton on the 9th. And then at Meowl in Wellington on the 10th of March as well. And can't wait to see you. Tickets are from Under the Radar for that Auckland show and the Lyttelton show. And we will see you in just a couple of weeks' time, really. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
Very soon. Yeah, I'm excited. So thank you for having me. Like, I promise I won't embarrass you.
No, you could never. We're going to listen to Love Fell Down Around Me from Postcards from Italia, and we will see you in a couple of weeks. Thanks so much, Mickey. Bye.
Bye.
It's good, oh, it's good, oh, it's good till it's gone. So good.
Fuss about it, I didn't yell at all. Your tears on blue jeans, my coffee on the living room floor. I said the worst things ever that night. Forgive me, please forgive me. Yeah. Two houses both alike and dignity is wild to me. You've made a choice that nothing can be just like before. Now why is that? You're such a good actor, and the award goes to you. Blush and it's over. A daisy chain amongst a garden of clovers. Call a spade, yeah, you're breaking away. Said you're leaving today, said you're making me pay. I don't see it that way, but I think you're prone, I think you love the confusion. Don't got no answers and don't want no solutions. Said you're letting me go, call me worthless, I know. That's my keys in the door, that's my ring on the floor. Excuse me.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.